I wanted to share about the resurrection today. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to unpack Luke chapter 24 today. And you'll be surprised that these stories go quick because they're just all amazing stories. There's like three amazing stories right there in a row, boom, 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 in Luke chapter 24 that I really, really appreciated. And you know, one of the most important things in any kind of criminal investigation, okay? How many of you like crime dramas and things like that? I like the stuff. Is you got to find the body. Everybody say, yeah, find the body, because that tells you a whole lot of stuff, right, about what happened. They got to have that body so that they can figure out what happened to the body, right? And so the title of this message is Finding the Body of Jesus, because what you see here in Luke chapter 24 is how the disciples would not have done very well in a crime story or show, because they didn't do a very good job in finding the body. As a matter of fact, it wasn't there when they went there the first time. So we're looking at the first day of the week, which is Sunday. So on the first day of the week, Sunday, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. And no, they weren't taking those spices for a church cover dish. It was for a whole different reason. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. When they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. All right? So two really good-looking, dressed, highly dressed guys were there. It was dazzling. It was glowing. This is before the time that we could get LED lighting, right? And wear that LED lighting. They had Holy Ghost lit clothing. They were dressed really well. They were perplexed. And then these two fantastically dressed guys stood next to them, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, because this was very impressive, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Where are you? Why are you here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, the first day of the week, rise again." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all those things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe it. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. He went home marveling at what had happened. And so this is the first story here in Luke chapter 24, and here's what I've got. I want to just give you some principles I feel like the Lord has for us. It says that they went to the tomb and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, the number one priority for every believer is to find the body of the Lord Jesus. God has called us not to an empty tomb, because they said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" Let me tell you that if you're going to find the body of Jesus, you're going to find a people that have the Holy Spirit inside of them, living inside of them, and their church ain't going to resemble an empty tomb with a bunch of linen cloths laying around, but they're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to be dressed really nice. That's because the clothing that God's people have, sometimes the Bible says it's the garment of praise. And that's dazzling clothing. God wants to clothe you with the garment of praise instead of a cloth of heaviness. Let me tell you something. When you hang around people that are dead in the spirit, they don't dress very well. They may have an expensive garment or they may be a poor person. But let me tell you something. I've never seen a homeless person walk in the street looking good in a tuxedo. Have you? What is the first thing you notice about a homeless person is that their clothes, however much they have on, don't look too good. And I want to say that what is in the natural, we can learn in the spirit, because when you get outside of the empty tomb with just a bunch of cloths lagging there, you'll see some best dressed people because of the spirit of God that's on them and what they're clothed in. Because Paul said, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh. Don't make any provision for the flesh. Don't give that flesh any room. It's time to put some dazzling clothing on, saints, because when Jesus showed up, later on we'll see, he was looking pretty good. He wasn't dressed bad. They didn't think it was some guy coming down the street with the nasty looking clothing, ripped and all out of shape and rumpled and everything. And I'm not saying we should all dress out like in tuxedos on Sunday morning, but I want you to know something. There's something about looking good that brings forth the beauty of the Lord. That brings forth the beauty of the Lord. So the first thing I want you to hear me about is, don't look for the body of Christ in the wrong place. It's time you stop looking at the wrong place to find Jesus. And some people keep going to the wrong spot to find Jesus. And if you see a bunch of people that aren't dressed well, that means the flesh is out there. And you're seeing more flesh than you're seeing glory. You know what I'm talking about when I say flesh? Don't be ruled by the flesh. The passions of the flesh, the attitudes of the flesh. You can see a whole lot of attitude on people just by the way they look and stand. And you're saying, this isn't the Holy Spirit on that person. Can't you tell? You know, God wants us to have the joy of the Lord. And like my friend who's in heaven now, Costa Dare, he said, tell your face to praise the Lord. Just tell it. Praise the Lord, friend. Come on. Make your body praise the Lord. Sometimes your flesh needs to be told by your spirit and your mind to get with it. Because God's given us, we are spirits and souls who inhabit a body. And God loves our body just as much as he loves our soul and our spirit. And God is saving our bodies just as much as he's saving our soul and spirit. Aren't you glad that God cares about your body and your flesh? I'm glad he does. I'm glad he wants to heal my flesh. I'm glad he wants to change my mind. And I'm glad that he wants to put life into my spirit. He loves all of me. Amen? So they were surrounded by dead people. When you go to a graveyard, what are you surrounded by? A bunch of dead people, all dressed up in dead clothes. But what did they find? The way out of the graveyard is going with the best dressed people there. And you'll see they'll be angels of the Lord. They'll be angels of the Lord. God wants you to be like those two angels. You're going to find people you're going to meet that are hanging around the tomb looking for the body of Jesus. And they're not going to find it because they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in the wrong place. It's time. Listen, I was telling, it's just amazing. Even on the trip back home, last night at midnight at 12:30, we were hungry because we didn't have time for breakfast. We got up and we were on our way to the airport at 4 a.m. Okay, 4 a.m. on Saturday. We had to be there at 4, so we had to get up. No, we left at 4, but it was only 5 minutes away. Oh, no, excuse me. That wasn't that airport. It was the one the other day. So we were at 4. We were up. We had to be there at the airport. We had a flight at 9, and we had to be there at 6, and we left at 4. We left at 4 a.m. Get all his times mixed up. So we're going to the airport, right? And then so we hadn't get much sleep. And then the night before, Thursday night in Trinidad, Easter weekend is kind of like party time, okay? That's when the rest of everybody else, that's when all the bars stay open late and they start partying. That whole weekend is one big party in the world, okay? People go to church, but then the other guys, they party. So they were blasting music at midnight. So we didn't get much sleep. You know, we got to bed and then we didn't sleep much. And then I got maybe 2 hours of sleep before we had to get up at 3:30 or 4 to leave at 4 to go to the airport, the 2-hour drive to the airport. So we're tired. And then we get home. We get to the Greensboro Airport around 10:30. Dan's picking up. And so Gloria's hungry because we hadn't eaten. We ate at 2 in the afternoon. And then we hadn't been a while since we'd eaten. So, like, we're going to go somewhere. And Danny, bless his heart, you know, gets on. Hey, man, there's a Sheetz open. And it's on US 29 coming up here. So I didn't even know there was a Sheetz on 29. I guess it's fairly new. So we're coming up from Greensboro on 29. And there's the Sheetz. We pull in there. And there's, like, cars everywhere. People over there. It's like midnight. And there's, like, it's packed. It is packed. Because it's the only thing that you can go to if you're hungry. Come on, it's Saturday night. It's the only thing open. Get gas, go anywhere. So we knew. So I'm going in there, and we get there, and this guy walks up to me and say, "Hey, I don't have any gas for my car. Can you give me some gas?" You know, so I'm like, "Sure, okay. Here's some." You know, so I said, "Line it up there," and then I could tell his windshield was all shattered and his car was beat up and the side mirror was busted. I mean, it was in the one window wouldn't roll up. So I knew it was kind of a sketchy situation. This guy was kind of like really, you know, he was there trying to hustle a little bit and get something in his, you know, car because he didn't have any money. And he was on his way from Concord up to Pelham. Everybody knows where Pelham is, right there. So anyway, he had a ways to go still. And so I put some gas in his money and I sewed it. And so then next, this homeless guy walks up to me and was with him. I could tell they were with me. So it was a double whammy hit on me. You know what I mean? The ATM machine there. That guy looks like, So he comes in and I'm like, he's like, "Man, I tell you what." I said, "Look, let me get you something to eat." So I got him some hot dogs at, here it is, midnight. Get him some hot dogs at Sheetz. You know, the whole thing cost me like $3. I mean, it was great. That's what I love about Sheetz. You can get a hot dog there. Pretty decent hot dogs, not that expensive. So we get the hot dogs, give it to him, and I said, "Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you." So here it is. I'm trying to get home, right? And God says, "Come on, start ministering." So amen. And God will do that for us. And let me tell you what they said. What are you seeking? I mean, look what they said. "Why seek ye?" I mean, that sounds fancy, but you know what they're saying? What in the world are you doing here, looking for someone alive amongst a bunch of dead people? Now, if that isn't a rebuke, what isn't? Right? That was a rebuke. And sometimes we just got to, when we got a friend of ours or somebody that we meet, sometimes we got to shake them a little bit and say, "Come on, you know what to do. Get in charge. Get yourself around some people. What are you doing hanging out with all these dead folks? Get with some better dressed folks. Hey, how many of you want to hang out with angels? You hang out with angels." They said, "Here, let me borrow your shirt." Now, I got to give you another testimony. I totally forgot about this. It is crazy. So listen, I go in and get the hot dogs. This is crazy. I go in and get my hot dogs, right? I come out, and who is checking me out, working there at 12:30 midnight, is Samantha. I did the wedding for her and Jeff. Jeff's a state trooper. You know, Marlene. It's Marlene's granddaughter. She's right there. I'm like, "Go, Samantha. This is God." You know, I'm like 12:30 walking the Sheetz. There she is. All the way in Greensboro. Yeah, right. All the way to Danville in Greensboro. And she, you know, she used to work down in Ridgeway all this time. But then she moved. She just got a new baby. Everything's, I mean, I follow on Facebook. That's how I know what's going on. You know, she's got a new baby and all excited and everything. But I know God wanted me there to bless her. See, God can bless you when you think everything nuts is going on. You know? Amen. Amen. You know, the word for gospel is related for the word angel because the word angel means messenger or message. So the gospel literally means, in the language that they use of the day, Greek, right, was a good message. This is a good message. And when you send a messenger with a good message, let me tell you something. They're going to be dressed really good. Right? They're going to look good. They're going to have that where they're going to give you a good word. They're going to give you a word of hope, a word of healing, a word of power, a word of encouragement. That's what the good news is. And it's connected to angels, to even that word for angel. And so God had set up a bunch of stuff. All right, one more testimony. Listen to this. I go to Trinidad. I hadn't seen this Pastor Daniel. He spoke here at this church, right? And he spoke here. And so and I've been there to his church, and this is where Tim and Deborah did a lot of ministry. He started with nothing. He had no church, and then it grew. So we were in the newest church building, which was beautiful. All right, so we're doing a seminar there, and then afterwards, and he goes to me, he says, John, when I came to visit your church in 2006, he says, he came to visit. I took him up to to the house here. We had just moved over here. And I took a white shirt out of my closet and I gave him a really nice looking white shirt. I totally forgot about it. He took it home. He said, I use that shirt for every time I baptize somebody. And I've used it ever since. That's my baptism shirt. Isn't that awesome? I didn't even know that. You can see that? I was like wrecked. See what God will do? With something like, talk about a seed. It's a seed of a shirt. Just to bless him. I want to bless him and give him something. You know, here it is. And that's his baptism shirt. And he's done a bunch of them. Let me tell you, those guys are on fire evangelists. So I just thought that was really, to me, that was like a very special thing from that will bless all of us. You know, that was it. That was so cool. Okay, so don't look in the wrong place. Okay, but God will cause you to be a messenger to pull people away from the cemetery and bring them to church where there's life, where there's life. Amen. Okay, now Peter, look at Peter. All right. Remember what he said to you. They heard the gospel, right? Where am I now? He's not here. Yeah. Okay, deliver sin from the third day. Okay, now, was Mary Magdalene, Joanna? Oh, yeah, I want to go to verse 11. These words seem to be idle tales, but they did not believe them. That word for idle tale is connected to this word. It means fantasy or story. How many of you know that you can hang around somebody and they're telling you a story and it's, I call it a fish story because it ain't true. How do you know that, right? They're telling you a story. They'll tell you about this and tell you about that, tell you about that. And I'm going, okay, I'm hearing a fish story right now. That means he caught something about that big and he's telling me like it's this big. That means he's making it up. He's fantasizing. He's telling me a fantasy. He's telling me something that's from his imagination. It is not what really happened. And that's how the resurrection sounded to them. It sounded like a good book or a movie or something that you saw that somebody just made up, but it's not true. But there's a difference between marveling. But that word marvel means to be astounded. And you're stunned. You're stunned and you can't process the beauty that you're seeing. You can't process the words that you're seeing. You need some time to ponder it. That's what it means. It says that they were like, they went home marveling at what had happened. And here's what I believe that needs to happen. Okay. Yeah, Peter rose. There it is, verse 12. Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothing by itself, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The other key that I think that really needs to happen with God's people is that sometimes you got to get up and go and check it out for yourself. Some people, God wants to stir us up and get our attention so that we can press into seeing it for ourselves to try to get through our unbelief. Sometimes our unbelief stops us from coming into the blessing that God has for us. And we have to do something about it. It takes action. Go, run, and see. Get up and see it for yourself. Bring people from fantasy into eternity or reality. Get them out of it. Okay, now let's do the next one, the road to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And this was a key teaching and principle that we had when we were there too. They were talking to each other about all the things that happened. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. This is a great question for discussion. We're not going to discuss it now, but think about it while I'm talking. What kept them from seeing Jesus? Did Jesus keep them from seeing Jesus? Did their own unbelief keep them from seeing Jesus? What was different? Because they all hung out with Jesus for 3.5 years, and then he came among them, and they could not see his body. Right? They couldn't see his body. So this was the problem that they had. They didn't recognize his flesh. They didn't recognize his body. And I hear some things the Lord's been saying. There are times when we need to see the body of Christ when we don't see it. Our unbelief keeps us from really seeing Jesus in a situation. And we focus on other stuff instead of focusing on Jesus. That's what I hear it so many times amongst Christians. Like, talk to me about Jesus, please. I don't want to hear about dead bodies all over the world and what dead people do. Don't tell me about ugly clothing. Tell me about angelic clothing. I want to hear what God is doing. Just saying. All right, so what did Jesus do when he was with them and they couldn't recognize him? What was his strategy? And I believe this strategy is going to help us with people who can't see Jesus. Okay? First thing they did, what is this conversation that you're holding each other as you walk? First thing, he comes up about them and he's hearing them talk. He was listening for a while. And then he's like, what are you guys talking about? Right? Number one key, I really believe this, ask questions to find out what's going on. Ask questions. One of the best things that ever happened in my Christian life was a season that we had here when we practiced the art of listening. The art of listening. And when you have the art of listening, you are not making statements on social media. You are listening and asking questions to hear what people really think about something. And sometimes, I'm telling you, one of the biggest mistakes that I make in a conversation, especially if I don't agree with somebody, is that I end up telling them what my answer is before I find out what they're saying, really saying. I don't understand what they are saying. And so I have to stop and make myself listen. And the way you make yourself listening is don't make a statement when somebody tells you something. Ask a question. And let your question be more about what they're saying so that you can get understanding. And so Jesus is coming amongst them and he just asks a question. What are you guys really talking about? And of course, Cleopas said, how dumb are you, buddy? Are you like the only guy in Jerusalem? Come on, he's being sarcastic almost, right? Are you the only person who doesn't know what just happened in Jerusalem? Isn't that what he said? So he's got tons of attitude. How many of you have dealt in a conversation with somebody that has a lot of attitude? And you're trying to understand them. And so Jesus, He doesn't say, hey, back off, buddy. You know what I'm saying? I know what happened. I know a whole lot more than you, buddy. It was me on the cross you were talking. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Can you imagine telling Jesus, like, what's wrong with you? You don't know about this guy named Jesus who died on the cross. He's like, I would have said, you are a total moron, man. I was on the cross, dummy. You know what I mean? He could have just ripped him to shreds. But he didn't. He listened to him. And there are times when God wants you to not rebuke somebody, but to keep listening to them. And that's a way of having compassion and really learning where they're coming from. And how many of you know that God does that with us? When we're wrong, when we're praying in faith or we're doing something not in faith, you know what I'm saying? We're acting dumb. We're not doing it according to his word. And we come up to God and God just kind of goes, yeah. So what are you, so what are you saying here? You know, he said, what things? What happened? You see, he's getting them to tell what's going on. And then he said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And he's talking about Jesus as a prophet. Well, that tells me something right away about how much you understand what's going on. Amen? They think that he's just a prophet. Didn't call him the Son of God, did he? Didn't call him the Savior of the world. Didn't call him what he really was. He's called him a prophet. And then how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to the condemned to death and crucified him. Isn't that the truth? And we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Let me tell you that when you're ministering to somebody that is having a struggle in faith, it is often rooted in a lack of hope. It's a lack of hope because their hope somehow, their expectation was somehow destroyed. I was expecting this to happen, but this happened instead. And we were amongst a bunch of people, this, you know what I'm saying, that had their hopes dashed because they were in this tremendous move and the church was growing and they're doing all these great things. And then their leader died. That's a dashing. When that happens, it's easy to not be hopeful about future. And so they said to him concerning Jesus. And then it says, but we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes. And besides all this. Now, they're on top of this, it's they're downing. Okay, in addition to our hopes being destroyed, right? It's the third day these happen. And then on top of this, a bunch of crazy women came to us. Come on now, they got a little attitude. I mean, I say crazy, it says some women of our company amazed us. Ah, there's that word amazed. Wonder. What did Peter do? He amazed himself. He began to wonder about some things when he saw the tomb. Now they're dealing with some wonder. Okay? They're dealing with this wonder. They're dealing with this marvel. And they're thinking, this is a Marvel comic book that these girls are telling us. This is not real. See what I'm saying? And they said, they amazed us when they did not find his body. There's the word, finding his body. Do you see the theme? Finding his body. What do people need to do if they really want to get saved and learn the truth? Is they got to find the body of Christ somewhere. Don't just be out in your little metaverse thinking you know where the body is. You don't know where the body is. You need to find the body of Christ. Praise God. Glory to God. Flying communion cups. Okay. Okay. So what did Jesus do? He rebukes them and then he asks a question. So it's in the form of a question. Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter in his glory? He begins in the rebuke in the form of a question. Didn't this have to happen? And then he says with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them. He began to explain them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They didn't know who he was. But here's what there's a lot to take out of this verse, but here's what it was. When you rebuke somebody, if you're going to question people, that's the best way to challenge people's thinking in the form of a question. And then as you use the word of God, don't just quote the word of God. That is like taking a club or a hammer to try to a hammer when you really need a pair of tweezers. Explain the word of God and talk about Jesus. One of the greatest tactics of the flesh is the enemy is to get people talking about anything in the Bible, but they don't talk about Jesus. Well, we're going to talk about the best way to baptize. Now, baptism, if you don't get baptized that way, then you're not going to get saved. There are people that teach that. There are people that say this or that. If you don't read a certain Bible, you're not getting the Word of God. I've heard it. I've seen it. You get stuck into sectarian talk. Sectarian divisiveness. If you don't worship with smoke and incense, or if you do worship with smoke and incense, you know what I'm saying? Everybody gets divided about certain practices or certain things that don't have to do with Jesus. I don't care. I mean, if you want to put incense in there and they add incense in the I'm happy with that. And if you want to, I want to dip people. Once you read the Word of God, you'll see that. But I'm not going to be divisive about it. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Jesus will straighten them out. You know, if you really get to know Jesus, then they'll get convicted. And I've seen testimony, and I've seen in my own life, I got saved and I got water baptized and filled with the Spirit. And you know what? I wasn't perfect and a mature Christian right away. Does that shock you? Y'all falling out of your chairs. I see it right now. You mean I had to learn how to grow and act like a mature Christian? I just didn't automatically do everything right? I mean, if I told you about my life the first year after I got saved and filled with the Spirit, you'd say, you weren't saved. John, I don't think you were saved. You know what I mean? Because I did a lot of stupid. I did a lot of things that I used to do. It took a while for the Holy Spirit to start to work with me and for me to start to learn how to act not the way I used to act. And it takes time. You have to interpret them, and you got to keep it focused on Jesus. That's when Jesus spoke. I mean, one of the biggest things that I was doing that God wanted to correct me for, Jesus had to talk to me about through a prophet, through a man. And I was in a meeting, and he was just sitting there, you know, talking to me, and I knew it was Jesus talking to me, and it was about stuff I was doing that I should have been doing. And I'm glad because Jesus had to talk to me about it. But if you keep it Jesus focused, let the Holy Spirit deal with them. And don't get stuck in the non-essentials or the things that, you know, give people time to change. Keep the focus on Jesus and let Jesus do the talking. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And then he said he acted like he was going to go on when they got to the village. And they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it's towards the evening, the day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. So why? Because it was Jesus talking to them about himself. It became more and more in love with Jesus. And then we find out something was happening in the heart level. Even though the head wasn't there, their hearts, they said, our hearts were burning within us. You see, faith, where it says? It says, faith comes when you believe with your heart. Faith comes when you believe with your heart. You believe the word of God in your heart, with your heart. And Jesus is trying to get to their heart so that it can get to their heads. But you got to start with their heart. Where their heart is. Right? Out of the heart, what? Flow. The issues of life. The issues of life, the heart. So you got to, Jesus is dealing with their hearts so that their mind can start to come in line with what the word of faith is saying to them. And they came And he said, did not, it says, now here's what, he was at the table with them, and he stayed with them longer, and they began to be more, I want to spend more time with Jesus. This is the Christian life, growing and wanting to spend more time with him. And what happens? It says, when he blessed and broke the bread and gave it to them, their eyes were open. They had to see what happened at the cross. They had to see it. They had to see his broken body. They had to understand the connection. And when that connection was made between that meal together, it says their eyes were open. Now I'm going to illustrate this way. We ate a whole lot in Trinidad. We ate a lot. I think we must have ate about 5 or 6 times the amount of calories than I normally eat, because people were bringing food just like crazy. So we had about 6 or 7 homemade cakes, beautiful chocolate. Oh, I'm going to sin here. I'm going to get y'all. We're going to be running out the door real quick. But chocolate cake with chocolate icing and strips of chocolate and vanilla cakes. They were just bringing them. Then they were bringing all these Indian foods like doubles and all this stuff. Aloo, which is like potatoes, a lot of starchy stuff. I don't usually eat as much carbs, but they were like throwing the carbs at me like in buckets. And you have to eat. You don't just go there and not eat. We spent a lot of time at the table eating. I learned stuff about people sitting at the table that I didn't learn any other way. There's something about the table of fellowship when you're eating that you learn stuff. You get stories from people. I heard some great stories, fun stories, laughing stories. I heard the story about the baptism shirt sitting at the table. See, there's something about a depth of knowledge that goes to your heart, well, sometimes your stomach first, then your heart, because you're sitting there eating and enjoying each other's company, and you're just learning about them, and you're hearing about them and sharing stuff. And I learned stuff about Dave Bates, Michelle Bates, Abigail. I mean, I learned stuff about everybody I didn't know. We grew closer together around the table as well as the altar. You got to have both. And that's what Jesus had to do with them. In order to get to their hearts and get from their hearts to their heads, he sat down with them and ate. It's when they ate that they got it. There are some people, I'm just saying, why don't we use that tactic? You know what I'm saying? Bless you. Why don't we use that tactic? Hey, I'm going to go on an evangelistic event. Praise the Lord. We're going to go reach souls for Jesus. And then you end yourself, you're up at Hardee's. You know what I'm saying? Or wherever your favorite, go somewhere and just eat with somebody. And then just start telling stories with them. Just tell them what happened. I just believe that there's a way that God can get through the walls. People put up walls. They put up walls or you come at them and they don't realize it. You're coming at them with a hammer when God says, just ease up. Just be, love them and tell them what's going on and ask questions and reach them. And I just feel that God really wants to do that with us. And because I know salvation is going to come to this house. I got a word from one of the pastors there. I never met him. His name was Percy. He lives in Guyana. He started preaching about revival here. And he was saying things about this church that were the Lord. He said, the Lord says that this place is like a well of water in the middle of a desert, and the people are going to come. He didn't know the name of the church. People are going to come to get drink and, you know, get refreshed. And he's like prophesying the vision of the church, the vision. These guys put that thing out there, the wellspring of life. He's like prophesying it. So God, you know, God knows you. He knows us. We were just on the phone talking. And then Jesus appeared to his disciples. He said, peace to them. In verse 36, they thought they saw a spirit or a ghost, the King James. I love that verse. But they thought they saw the ghost. He said, why? And again, he starts asking questions. Touch my body. Touch my flesh. See that I am not a ghost. This is just connect with who I am as a person. And then they gave him fish and he ate with them. And then he says this, verse 44, these are the words I spoke to you. The law of Moses must be fulfilled, written about me. I've already told you this. Stick with what's written about Jesus. Don't get pulled into arguments and things like that that had not having to do with Jesus. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. What were they doing when he opened their minds to understand the scriptures? Eating breakfast, broiled fish. They were eating. Thus it's written that Christ should suffer and the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness should be sins, to be proclaimed in the name of all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses, and behold, I'm sending you the promise of the Father. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Come to the table and stop and stay. Come to the table. Eat some more and stay in the city. Don't go. Eat some more. Have another piece. When I went there, I think in 2008, and I met Pastor Sutio. So he gets me in the car, and we're like driving around. He goes, oh, Pastor John, I got to get you some ice cream, very special ice cream. So he takes me over to this ice cream place, and he puts it in a cup. He says, try this. And it's got, you know, ice cream with raisins, rum raisin. So I take the ice cream, I start eating, I'm like, I'm biting, I was like, that is rum in that ice cream. And there's a lot of rum. Those raisins were soaked in real rum, and there's real rum in that ice cream. I'm like, and this brother is like a teetotaler, like doesn't drink, you know, doesn't, but like he gets me rum ice cream, I mean rum with rum in it. It was kicking. So that made me laugh, because I'm thinking, you know, here's this pastor, and I'm just eating this rum ice cream going, wow, and that's really good, obviously. It tastes great. So when I was there, I said, you know, I told him the story about how when I came here in 2008, that Pastor Sutio took me out for rum ice cream. He goes, oh, we know where that place is. So for the next 2 days, that's all I got to eat was rum. I mean, I had to eat cake. I ate cake. You got to. But now with the cake, coconut ice cream, which is the specialty there, and rum and raisin ice cream, and they're just laughing their heads off. They're laughing their heads off because it's good. And I love that. Like for them, it's like no big deal. But for me, it's like this has got a kick to it, you know? And so that was the other thing. So I want you to see this because there's something about eating something you've not used to that gets your attention, that makes you learn something, and it's an expression of love. That was their way of saying, we love you, Pastor John, and we're going to get you rum ice cream, and you're going to have so much of it that you're not going to know what to do with it. You see what I'm saying? That's an expression of hospitality. And I think Jesus is like that. And I think you and I are like that. We can be that way with people that don't know the Lord. Bless them so much. Give them rum ice cream. They're like, because something that they've never heard or eaten before, let it be something that'll kind of shake them up and not fit their mind of what you think a preacher would give you. Come on. I was like, you know, brother, you gave me what? And they're like, you know, they're laughing. Because here's Preacher John, Pastor John, eating rum ice cream. So anyway, that was the last thing. And I want us to be that way. I feel like we're going to see some amazing things happen with that. Amen. Lord, we just pray and we thank you, Jesus, for the hospitality that you did on the resurrection day, that you told your disciples, don't hang out with the wrong people. Stop hanging out with the dead folks. I've got some really good dressed people that you need to hang with. Go to that place. And Lord, we thank you that it was Jesus, their eyes were open when they started eating. They started eating and sitting with him at the table and just getting what was going on with all about who he is. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in Trinidad, Mary and I learned stories about people that we didn't know that got us to know them even better. And Lord, I just pray that way with our relationship with the Lord that we're going to hear things about Jesus just because we're taking the time to eat with him and that he's taking the time to eat with us. And Lord, I pray that we would be the same way with people that don't know you, people that we care about, people that are hanging out with in graveyards and they need to start hanging out with angels. Lord, we just pray for the times when we just need to sit down and have a meal with somebody or when we just need to share with them and we need to ask good questions and not just tell them what we think all the time. But, Lord, that we would learn to listen better. Lord, I just pray for that, Lord. Help me, Lord, learn to listen better and how to hear people. And, Lord, help me also, Lord God, to give people something that will bring them to have their hearts burning inside of them and open their eyes to see Jesus. Amen. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the message of the cross, that it was all about touching the body of Jesus. And Lord, let our body be very touchable. Let it be very touchable. Lord, you know, even there's some of us, Lord, that people need to stick their fingers in our wounds so that they know that we're real. Sometimes they have to touch where we've been hurt so they can connect with us. And Lord, we pray for that as well. Don't let us always have to show them the good side. Let them see the wounds too, because they'll relate to us as well. They'll say, man, that person went through it. I don't know how you did it. And I said, I don't know how I did it either. It was just Jesus. He just helped me. So Lord, we thank you for that as well. And Lord, we just pray, keep doing it, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you.